such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds Have Changed. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and that means You're in for some brain-wrinkling activity here. Father Tom Coy is with you, as is my custom, and so grateful to Father Anthony Bush for letting me substitute for him on Wednesday. Father Anthony, if you're relaxing on a day off, I hope you're relaxing well and listening to The Winds of Change, as is everyone's custom.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, well, we're going to wrinkle your brain, because I've been very happy to have this wonderful guest in studio with us today. We're here to talk about the spiritual life, how to get deeper and pick up new habits, get rid of old habits. That guest in the studio is a wonderful priest by the name of Father Bruce Wren. Father, why don't you say hello to our millions of listeners?
Hi, Father Tom. I'm glad to be here this morning.
That's the voice of Father Bruce Wren. If you're from Highland, way up north in the Chicagoland area, or way southwest, you may know of Father Bruce.
Yeah.
I asked the primary reason I thought of having Father Bruce with us is because he's going to be offering a morning of reflection. Or you could call it, I like to call them mini retreats sometimes, because mini retreats sounds more doable than a retreat. Do you know what I'm saying, Bruce?
Yeah. Bruce? Yeah, that's certainly true.
People when you say, hey, you want to go on a retreat? Oh, wow, don't think I can do that. In most people's minds, I think the word retreat has the same kind of commitment as vacation.
Yeah, it can be a little daunting sometimes.
You got to take off time from work. You got to be home. You got to go away for a night. You got to arrange your work schedule. Your wife or husband has to agree with it. You got to know where to put the dogs and the children and all the rest. And retreats are a challenge. They most definitely are. And when you have to take time off from work, one of the obvious things that confronts people right off the bat is, I'm not going to waste some of my vacation time on a retreat. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I think all retreat masters often struggle with.
Yeah, and you've been doing a lot of retreat. Father, tell us what has been your ministry. You and I are around the same age. And when were you ordained and all that? And what has been part of your priesthood and all?
Yeah, so... I entered the seminary in 85. I was finally ordained in 96, but my ministry has been mostly outside of the United States. I picked up a little French, so I was first sent to French-speaking Canada, and then I spent 15 years in France.
When you said you pick up a little French, does that mean you just like French wine or French toast?
Well, I certainly like French wine. But no, I learned to speak it, and so I was given ministries in most of these French-speaking countries. I was just transferred back here to Chicago about 3 years ago.
Yeah, where we met up and all.
Right.
I have to share this with our listening audience, and maybe you know more about it, but I was in Paris once, a number of years ago, and we stopped in a church. A lot of the Catholic churches are suffering in France.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
It's the occasion of spawning new small communities, fervent smaller communities. And we stumbled into a church where they were singing / chanting the Mass in French. I'm quite sure. If I remember, it was a long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was in French. They might have had some Latin spilled in and everything. Mm. But what blew me away was that the congregation, it was a pretty full church, and the congregation was singing the parts of the Mass and in four-part harmony.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The whole, not just the choir, but the whole, and I never heard anything like that before, and I've never heard anything since then. And I crave for that. It was so much the feeling of, this is like heaven, you know, which is what our goal, that's what our Lord intended church to be.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that harmonica, men and women, I don't know that all the parts were four-part harmony, but they were maybe two-part harmony, maybe three-part, but even two-part is a hard thing to pull off. I'm trying to do a little of that at St. James, where I'm from, but it's not easy. But anyways, so... you've led many retreats. You just came back from giving a retreat out west, right?
That's right. I was just invited to give a men's retreat in, of all places, Idaho. And we had a good group of men, about 30 men. That was a three-day retreat. That was a pretty serious retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. When you get men for 3 days, it is something. We don't... We have to encourage people to come... We're having a retreat at St. James of the Sag, way out southwest.
Right.
Retreat/mini retreat/day of recollection/ morning of recollection.
Yeah.
See how I'm just making it as easy for people to come to. You're partnering up Dr. Her name is slipping my mind.
Lisa Fortini.
Yeah. Lisa Fortini.
Right.
Wonderful gal, wonderful professor.
Right.
You're gonna present some things, and Dr. Fortini will present some things. So the retreat, my friends, let's give me the details. I got to give you the details. At St. James of the Sag, we're out in Lamont, Illinois, 106th and Archer Avenue. Some of you may know that area. It's way out in the Forest Preserve. It's a beautiful little church in the middle of the Forest Preserve. It's one of the few churches that's a historical landmark, so it's worth the trip if you have to come a little ways, and you'll be rewarded with a nice lunch as well to make it. But that's going to be Saturday, December 16, which happens to be not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday.
That's right.
So how would you encourage people to come, Father Bruce?
Well, I think you've kind of set the context correctly. This is a pretty easy retreat to go to. It's just one morning of reflection. We begin at 8:30 with a little bit of coffee and donuts just to get together. And then at 9, I give a talk. I'm going to speak about Christian joy. And then Dr. Fortini will give a talk after that. And then we're going to finish up with Mass. And we are offering confessions also. So you can come in the morning, and you will, you know, by noon, you will already be able to get back to your Christmas activities,
Workaday life.
That's right.
Right, right. We'll finish up with the tasty lunch. Very good. Is there a theme that is part of the morning? Well, you said Christian joy.
Right.
Good one for Advent.
Right. So it's being put on by a group called the Catholic Professionals of Illinois. It's a wonderful group for obviously Catholic professionals who are looking to evangelize our culture today. It's their annual Advent morning of reflection. So we have, Lisa and myself, we decided to speak on the theme of Christian joy. So I will start that out, and she will give a little bit different take on it. But I'm sure it's going to be very, very fruitful for those who decide to go.
Indeed. The Catholic Professionals of Illinois, they do a retreat in Advent and then one in Lent.
That's right.
We'll have another one in Lent.
Right.
And I say will because I feel part of the group. I've been to many of the meetings.
Right.
And I do want to tell the listeners, though, if you don't necessarily feel yourself as a professional, that word sometimes scares some people away because they, I'm not a professional. I'm just a lowly worker. So, you know, it sometimes makes the distinction between people who get paid by the hour, if you're an hourly wage earner, or you have a salary. People who have a salary tend to think of themselves as professionals. Those who get paid hourly tend to think of themselves not as a professional. But I want you to, any listener who's contemplating coming, to forget about that.
Yeah, that's certainly true, Father. It's put on by the Catholic Professionals of Illinois, but it's open to it. You know, any person of goodwill.
Yeah, right. and the title has there is a spirit of somewhat networking that goes on. It's great to collect good new emails and telephone numbers when you are trying to put God and religion, your faith, into the workplace. You're going to be a lone man out or lone woman out, and it's very good to know that you're not the only one trying to do this.
Yes.
So that's what I do think of the Catholic Professionals of Illinois. We should give a good shout out for Dr. Mary Beth Sukowski, who's one of the
founders. That's correct.
She's not the president, or
she's on the board, and she is a co-founder of the organization.
Right. 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 Wonderful doctor, who I gotten to know over the past few years.
Yeah, myself also. Wonderful woman.
Yeah. So let me throw this at you, Father Bruce, because a retreat, and obviously many of our listeners won't be able to come. Mm-hmm. However, this hour is for you as well. And I want to know, you've done a lot of retreats and what have you. For me, there are different kinds of spiritual movements in people's lives. For many people, it's when you fall in love with somebody who's more religious than you. You tend to get more religious. And obviously weddings happen then, and somebody will convert because their fiancé is one religion or another. And then there's some other. But I want to throw out the concept of people who read their way into the church or read their way deeper into spirituality.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is it was more of an intellectual awakening. And that leads me to think of, obviously, books. Reading involves books. Well, today it could involve iBooks, too, or e-books.
Yeah.
What are some of the books that have guided you, and do you share them with others?
Well, no, Father, that I could speak about that for well over 1 hour.
We can have you back.
You know, when I talk about this theme, I kind of like to divide up between spiritual books and books that are which wouldn't be normally classified under spiritual. And three of my non-spiritual books that I am just an incredible fan of are Dante's Divine Comedy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then there's Cervantes' Quixote, Don Quixote.
Yeah.
And then I just love, also, it's one of my favorite books of all time, Tolstoy's War and Peace.
Wow.
Yeah. Sure. But, of course, probably for our program this morning, the people might be a little bit more interested in spiritual books, and I do have a lot of favorite spiritual books.
Yeah. I know those books, but I can't say that I've studied them deeply. you know, enough bits and pieces. Dostoevsky's, I can't help but think of, I think it's the opening line where, or at least in the opening chapter, if you could save the world by killing one small innocent child, would you do it?
Yeah.
Isn't that War and Peace?
That is Dostoevsky, and that is the Brothers Karamazov.
Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah. That is also a beautiful book.
Yeah. And of course, Don Quixote turned into one of my favorite musical plays, you know. What do you get? I love that story.
Yeah.
Is there more? What could you say about the book that is more than the play?
Yeah, it's, you know, most people don't know this, but speaking of Dostoevsky, when Dostoevsky was looking to write a Christ-like figure for the modern world, he went back to Christian literature, and he said before writing his book, The Idiot, Dostoevsky said, I looked all through Christian literature, and the only person I could find that was a true Christ-like figure in Christian literature was Cervantes' Don Quixote.
How about
that? That shows you that's just scratching the surface of the profundity of the book, which most people are not aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be taken as just like, oh, follow your dreams and things will be good.
I think
it's... To dream the impossible dream, obviously, is a famous song in the play.
Right.
But that just scratches the surface, too. It doesn't negate that part of it. But,
no.
It reminds me of a common theme in a lot of the Disney movies and a lot of the contemporary type children's stories that has a certain relativistic twist to it by just saying, doesn't matter what you dream, but just dream and follow your dreams. Yeah. And I always want to say, no, it does matter what your dreams
are. Yeah, it certainly does. Right?
It's not, but in order to be a real popular thing and to get a lot of box office revenue, you have to be general.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the, anyways, Nick wants us to take a little break here. Our wonderful, crackpot, not that he's on crack, but he's a great sound man here. So let's take a quick break. I'm Father Tom Coyes. We're chatting with Father Bruce Wren. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to Our Lady of Guadalupe celebration on Sunday, December 10th from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. Then, on Tuesday, December 12th, on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, starting early at 5 a.m., Mañanitas, the serenading of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Then, at 7 p.m., there will be a special Mass in honor of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Following the Mass, the celebration will continue in the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gym at 1255 North Noble Street. There will be a folklore and Aztec dance presentation, as well as the presentation of the story of the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And of course, there'll be food for sale. Tamales, pozole, sopes, Mexican-style hot chocolate, and much, much more. The funds raised will benefit St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. That's Saturday, December 10th. St. Stan's is located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join in our celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know there was a time when St. Nicholas wasn't so jolly? It was in 325 AD when the bishops gathered in Nicaea for the first ecumenical council. That council was called to answer the false teachings of a priest named Arius. He wrongly taught that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. He even sang a song with the words, "There was a time when he, Christ, was not." So when Arius repeated those lyrics to the council fathers, I got a little hot under my clerical collar, and I angrily walked up and slapped Arius right in the face. Everyone was shocked, but after regaining my composure, I rejoined the other bishops to approve the Nicene Creed, the same creed that defends the divinity of Christ to this very day. So if you think you're not the stuff saints are made of, just remember, I didn't become jolly old Saint Nick overnight. Christ is born, glorify him.
Saint Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Koska and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here with you, sharing some brain-wrinkling thoughts about retreats. Father Bruce, we have Father Bruce Wren with us here today, who's doing a retreat at St. James of the Sag.
Here. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It is the hour of brain-wrinkling. So let's, Father Bruce, let's talk a little bit about retreats in general, and then some different topics that I do find. There's a book that I'm reading through now that I've shared a little bit on past shows, and it's just been on my mind because it just brings me delight and it opens my mind and it makes me want to share. Yeah. You know, I think those are good. But what I'm talking about is a Peter Kreft book. He's one of my favorite authors. And I'll list some of mine, but tell us what you've seen. You're not a diocesan priest.
That's correct.
Your life is try to explain your vocation, the mission, the apostolates that you have, and especially that you do a lot of retreats. What are retreats? Why should people really want to do a retreat?
Yeah, that's a good question, Father. And, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day, that if you go through the Gospels, you see that our Lord himself, Jesus Christ, who must have been one of the most intelligent, one of the most spiritually sensitive people, of course, that ever lived. Of course, he is our Lord. He himself felt need to go away, to have times of silence, to have times of prayer. And often I tell people, look, if Jesus Christ himself needed that, how much more so we, who are so far often from spiritual truth and spiritual, the spiritual food that we need for our souls. It's the gospel, I think, is the greatest advocate of going on a retreat.
And why do you need to separate? I know that it's good, or we could say, and people probably would say, yeah. What does it provide that non-retreat days and we don't have?
Right. Well, I would say that, Father, of all the means that we have, you know, as far as we are concerned, of all the means that we have of growing closer to God, I think there is none more valuable than prayer. Of course, there are sacraments also, but that's more on God's part, on our part. What can we do to grow closer to God? It's pray. And of course, we can pray on an everyday basis and do our prayers, our vocal prayers, our little prayers, our devotions. But a retreat gives us an opportunity to go deeper into prayer. And that's what Jesus showed us in the gospel. He himself needed that time. Mm-hmm. He needed that silence. He needed to be alone with God in order to go deeper into his relationship with the Father.
Well said. I will add a different angle because people who go to church, I have a better spiritual angle than people who don't. Let's make that division mostly.
Yeah, that's generally true. Right?
People who are, and especially if you're an every Sunday mass kind of person. Mm-hmm. However, I'm always thinking of concentric circles, and here's a group of people, and then within that group of people, there's this group of people. Within that group of people, there's this group of people. That's how my brain works. And so the people that are in church every Sunday, I'm going to say one of... This might come to you as a shock. I don't know that if any... I imagine that some people from St. James, where I hang my hat so frequently, will not be shocked by what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it, is that within that group of people that are in church every Sunday, they don't want more than 10 minutes of input.
Mm.
Because I sometimes go a little longer than 10 minutes. Okay, I'll admit it. I won't. No, I hear all my parishioners saying, yeah, Father, we know that. But after the 10-minute point, people really get antsy, and they're not comfortable with a long talk.
Right. You're right, Father.
And I always say it takes a lot more effort and a lot more time to craft a short sermon than a long sermon. You know, so I know I need to spend more time crafting my talk so I could deliver shorter sermons. The Gettysburg Address, of course, being so short, is so much more powerful than the 2-hour presentation that was delivered before Abraham Lincoln spoke. but that being said, a retreat or a morning of recollection allows you to have a series of talks that you're in for. You could carry on a deeper train of thought.
Yes.
I don't know how else to say it.
I think that's a great angle that you come from there, Father, because in Mass, of course, the people are expecting an 8 or a 10-minute homily.
Right.
But if you do go to a retreat, I think it gives you that space and the time necessary. You're a little bit more calm, and you're disposed to go deeper and listen more to the preach, but above all, listen more to God, right?
Yeah. 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 You hope the people presenting are instruments.
Yeah, hopefully.
Of God. Yeah. Exactly. There are good retreats and bad retreats. There's good retreat masters and bad. As a matter of fact, the idea of a retreat master has somewhat fallen out of play in the sense that one person does most of the talking and the rest of the people do most of the listening. A more modern approach, I think, I might say, is dialogue and break up into groups and share.
Yeah.
That phrase, break up into groups, almost sends shudders up my spine. In some sense, that was the only kind of retreats that we had when we were in the seminary. And you're given a topic. And I could see the beauty and the value because it gets more people a chance to talk. And
right.
Then there's always, okay, within your group, you have to pick a facilitator and they will report to the bigger group. People have always been through that. I think a lot of people who are listening today understand what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm such a hybrid guy. I can see both. I don't want it to all be small groups, and I don't want it to be all just sit and listen. But sitting and listening to someone, you can get deeper.
Of course.
You know?
Right. I think there's different types of retreats, Father, and the one you just spoke of certainly has its value. But to neglect the other type of retreat, when the retreatant is mostly in silence, listening to the Word of God being preached and being able to reflect on it, I think that's invaluable also. And that perhaps it's even more useful in the greater number of times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's less threatening for some people.
Right.
Some people do not want to open up and they want to stay quiet. But then there's the other personality that's more outgoing and can't stay silent, you know, and wants to share and talk. The retreat at St. James of the Sag on Saturday, December 16th will be,
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
See, I feel like having a bell. When I wrinkled Nick's brain, I feel we're getting somewhere. But anyways, the retreat on December 16th will be a sit and listening time, But the other chatting times, there'll be chatting times during coffee breaks and lunch and right. what have you. Don't be afraid, my friends, to make your way out to 106 South Archer Avenue in the middle of the Forest Preserve at the oldest working church in Northern Illinois. That happens to be St. James of the Sag, right there. We recently renovated our hall, too, so it's much, if anybody who's listening has ever been there before, if you make it out to St. James, you won't believe your eyes when you see the new hall, as it were. So let's go back to the theme of favorite books, themes that have touched your heart, themes that have helped your, I guess one aspect is the call to be a priest and then the call to continue growing. You and I think both know that we can't stop converting, you know, that it's a lifelong
lifelong task.
It is. Yeah. And the more smart books you read, smart authors you read, it's just, to me, I'm going to share this a little bit, and maybe you could react in one way or another, of the, when temptations come, or, you know, when the spirit is low in your heart, and you're not into following the will of God straight away. Sometimes picking up a great philosophy book, theology book, history book, rescues me.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Totally, Father. I'm very much the same.
Because it focuses your mind. Your mind, you could sort of think, oh, the devil's trying to hijack my brain. The devil wants to hijack my brain and just have me think all sorts of bad thoughts or what have you. And the sooner I can get my hands on a book that I really want, the better it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I spoke before about prayer, that so essential quality of prayer in our spiritual lives, but I'm in agreement with you, Father. Good spiritual reading gives us so much strength and criteria to fall back on when the times get a little bit more tough. It's whenever I do spiritual direction, I always recommend to people spiritual reading from good authors.
Yeah.
Certainly your book of Peter Kreft is a beautiful example.
It is. It's a beautiful one. I want to get into that too. You may be referring to my book, the book that I wrote, The Ashes That Still Remain. I'm just going to put in a plug for that. The Ashes, it's great reading.
It certainly is.
You can send an email to Father Coyes. And if you want any information, you know, maybe I could ask. You don't have to RSVP for the retreat, but if you could, it would help, you know, especially if you're going to bring a busload of people. But send an email to me. It's my email is somewhat of a sermon in itself. unlikeothernations@gmail.com. No spaces, unlikeothernations@gmail.com. That's Father Coyes' email. And just let me know how many you're going to come, and I'll give it to the people so we know how many box lunches to buy.
And Father, if I could add that it's also very easy to go online to Catholic Professionals of Illinois.
Yes.
And there also you can RSVP with one click.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catholic Professionals of Illinois.
Right.
Great. Nick wants us to take another little break. This hour is flying by too fast. We got to get into some of the meat of our of our spiritual direction issues. I'm Father Tom Coyes. I'm with Father Bruce Wren, one of the wonderful Legionaries of Christ priests, and you're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to Our Lady of Guadalupe celebration on Sunday, December 10th from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. Then, on Tuesday, December 12th, on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe,
starting early at 5 a.m., Mañanitas, the serenading of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Then, at 7 p.m., there will be a special Mass in honor of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Following the Mass, the celebration will continue in the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gym at 1255 North Noble Street. There will be a folklore and Aztec dance presentation, as well as the presentation of the story of the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And of course, there'll be food for sale. Tamales, pozole, sopes, Mexican-style hot chocolate, and much, much more. The funds raised will benefit St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. That's Saturday, December 10th. St. Stan's is located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join in our celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legge.
The Church's season of Advent commemorates two comings of Christ, first as a little child in Bethlehem, and second as a king at the end of time who will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, we might think that that's a kind of frightening thing to meditate on, the coming of Christ in the Last Judgment, but it actually can be very consoling. Jesus will come again to reestablish true justice for all time. And so we can ask Christ to come into all of the places where there is injustice and suffering. Let's ask this Advent for Christ to be our King, the King of my life, the King of my family, to reign over our country and over our world, to establish justice and to bring true peace. What a great gift we can receive this Advent.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Hey, how about that? I like listening to those commercials, even though I think we do them for free many times. A little plug out there for anybody who would like to help our ministry and stay on the air. God love you. We are, as we say, listener supported. I'm here with Father Bruce Wren, and we're talking about the spiritual life and doing retreats. Actually, when I say that little phrase, the spiritual life, I almost feel it needs an asterisk, because a lot of times for many people, the spiritual life is only of the spirit. And I'm one of these ones who is very holistic. And I think our faith in God is not just spiritual, it's physical and spiritual. We're body and soul. And that itself is a theme that I think needs a great deal of attention. Our bodies, you may remember this, Father Bruce. I'm a little bit of a John Denver fan. I've talked about some of John Denver's music. And I'm on a crusade to get more young people to know and love his music, because it's just so delightful. It's uplifting. Though his theology sometimes borders on, I have to correct some heresies that I see in one of his songs that I played it a couple of weeks ago, called Eagles and Horses. And there's a line in that that goes, the body is merely the shell of my soul. The body is merely the shell of my soul, but the flesh must be given its due. It's a great song, except it's not great theology. Because I don't think we should think of the body as merely the shell of my soul, meaning the soul is more me. The body is not so much me. Spiritual issues, when we're praying, when we're trying to get closer to God, we don't leapfrog over physical issues of the body, where, unfortunately, do I need to say this? Do I need to point it out? I guess I think I do, that many of the issues of sexual morality are very tied up with the body. And if we're over-spiritualized, we can ignore the areas and the issues of sexual morality in our life. And I think that we all can fall victim to that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge matter today for many.
Right.
You know, I don't think we ever get over it in some ways. But.
And what many people don't know, Father, is exactly what you're saying is just basic Catholic dogma. I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas would be the first to agree with you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have all of the development of the theology of the body by John Paul II.
It's very powerful,
right.
And you're very challenging. And it's just really a different way of delivering the same pitch.
Yeah.
John Paul II came up with the sliding curveball sinker knuckleball. Never existed before. But the goal is still to strike people out. Mm. And for thousands of years, the goal has been to strike our impurities and our sins out. And we've, like I say, I think in a lot of ways a common problem in our modern church is that desire to leapfrog over some of the issues of that are attached to our bodily life.
Yeah.
That leads me to, I'm gonna share something from Peter Kreft's book, and maybe this will springboard into something you want, but. I love what he does when he's talking about heaven, where he's trying to discuss what is time going to be like in heaven and what is space going to be like in heaven. Because time that we know here in this world is just one moment passing after another, and we look at our life and we have wonderful moments and all that. But he's very strong on saying, obviously, in heaven, heaven is in the presence of God. God dominates heaven in a certain sense, obviously. Well, maybe not so obviously. But if God is eternal, and then God has no limits, and obviously time is a way of limiting our moments. I live only in this time. I'm not living in the time of St. Francis of Assisi or Abraham Lincoln or St. Paul or Jesus Christ or King David.
Sure.
Yet those moments are as real for God as my life is for God now. And so he's saying, think about heaven in terms of an entering into eternity where time is, you can... break the limitations that our chronological time imposes on us. And not only can you just go talk to King David or St. Peter or Pope Leo X. I want to go talk to Pope Leo X because I want to ask him, why the heck didn't he get the Council of Trent going faster? I'm kind of mad at him for... Delaying. And
I'm sure he'll have an answer for you.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Whether it'll be satisfactory or not, well, that's what I look forward to. And but not only will we be able to talk with great figures, but they'll be able to, like I just saw the play A Christmas Carol.
Oh, of course.
Everest Academy did it last weekend, and the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas future says, take my hand. And then obviously Ebenezer Scrooge goes to the different places and they're able to. But remember in that play, Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghosts are able to see what's going on, but the people that are acting out don't see Ebenezer Scrooge. But Peter Kreft, in his description of heaven, and as we're trying to get our heads around what time is like in heaven, says that we're not only be able to talk to Pope Leo X, but we'll be able to hold his hand and go relive those years.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
It would be an eye-opener, and it could be scary. It could be... And then you add, well, it can be hell, too. In the sense of, okay, let me reach out my hand to Abraham Lincoln. Okay, and I want to reach my hand out to Abraham Lincoln, and I'll be able to talk with him, but let's go back to the Civil War time. And I'm not only just listening to him narrate, but I'm living it with him. But I could then live with the hell that he lived with. And then I could say, okay, What about that Friday, April 16th, when he went to Ford's Theater? Mm. And what about Sarah, his wife, as she sees her husband executed or shot?
Yeah.
So going to other times isn't necessarily heaven, but this heavenly time allows us into that. And then Peter Kreft wisely, I think, adds another layer to the time that says the meaning that is laid upon time is where we find God. The laying down of meaning upon a moment is where God is found. In other words, you can go back to April 16th, 1865, and see and be there at Ford's Theater, but to take the meaning of it, is it going to be Sarah Lincoln's meaning, which is devastating? Is it John Wilkes Booth's meaning, which is the destruction of the tyrant? It's going to be God's meaning. And then we'll find out, was God happy? was God happy with John Booth or John Wilkes Booth? Or was God agonizing with Sarah Lincoln? Mary Todd Lincoln, sorry. Got my Abrahams mixed up. If you're a good student of the Old Testament, you know where I slipped up there. For anyway. But does that make any sense? And it's that meaning quality, where good and evil are sifted out. And you can see, about September 11th? Okay, let's go back to September 11th. Let's not only relive it in the sense of remembering it, but relive it in the sense of being a part of it. Okay, which part are you going to be living in? On the airplane, Flight 91, as they're being hijacked, or the other ones are being flown in, to the crowds that applauded when they heard it, when they heard the news. What I still maintain, and this is how we grow closer to God, is when we get a better and better fix on what God thinks is good and what God thinks is evil.
That's so interesting, Father. You know, I haven't read the book. Peter Kreft is one of my favorite authors, but it certainly would be, how you're describing it, would be wonderful to understand what God meant with this time, right? And the drama that he understood from all time, right?
Cardinal George has a little line that he used to say, I heard him say it a few times, he goes, history is what God remembers. Isn't that interesting? Because for God to be remembering, just that, wait a minute, that God is outside of time. So when you and I remember something, I remember today is December. Hey, it's St. Nicholas Day, December 6th, and I'm remembering something in the past. But of course, that doesn't work with God. So it's not going to work in heaven. There's got to be a different way of meeting God in heaven than like meeting another person just like you and me. We're not going to, like all the cartoons and all the images that we have is we're going up to heaven and St. Peter's going to meet us at the pearly gates and introduce us to Jesus, and we're going to say, hey, Jesus, you know, and he's going to be meeting God is like meeting our neighbor or a new, maybe a famous person, a great person, but that can't be right either.
It certainly can't.
Because God is different than, the Trinity is different. So to me, this quest for knowing and evaluating the moments of history as God knows and evaluates them is part of my love for history. And the reason why I get frustrated when people don't want to know history, or they think it's boring. Like, how could you say that? That's the way. Okay, well, before we bore, I know Nick, let's grab another break here, and then you can bounce off Father Bruce, where our time is running short. But I'm Father Tom Coors with Father Bruce Wren. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stas has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stas is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stas.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stans is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stans.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This hour is flying by too fast, as they always do anyways. I'm here with Father Bruce Wren, and I'm trying to encourage people to go to retreats or a day of recollection. You can't be ready for what's going on in the church and in the world today if you just depend on your own prayer life, personal. You got to get your body in church. Notice I said body, not just your soul in church. And then you need more than just Mass on Sunday. You definitely need something like days of recollection, mini retreats and big retreats. Mm. And Father Bruce will be offering a little mini retreat at St. James of the Sag on Saturday, December 16th at 8:30 a.m. I was sharing a bit of the theme of time and how we reflect on heaven and how it lifts me up and picks me up. Do you have another theme, a favorite? There's a couple of other things that I'm just dying to share, too. When Peter Kreft, he tackles the issue of time in heaven, but he also tackles the idea of space in heaven. Because do you ever fantasize about this? I kind of think of, in heaven, I want to be able to go anywhere without the hassle of getting there. You know what I mean? Now I know that, the traveling is, getting there is half the fun, to some extent. Mm. But when you have to spend an hour and a half in a line at an airport, take off your shoes and take off your belt and go through security and then blah, blah, blah. There is fun in travel, but in heaven, I want the option of being able to go to Rome or the Holy Land or Aspen, Colorado. Mm. That's my new. Or Idaho. Father Bruce is from Idaho, and there are few places as beautiful as Idaho and Aspen, Colorado, without having the hassle of getting there. Mm. So anyways, that's a fantasy of mine, but it's based on faith in what is taught in the Bible. Mm. Peter Kreft tries to make a distinction between space and place. And hear me out. This sounds crazy. But this is, and when you meditate on these things and you're thinking about things, you go, yeah. Space, he says, could be defined by a GPS or quadrants on a map. Mm. And that's space. Or if it's a 5 billion years, miles outside of Chicago, Illinois, somewhere on the other side of Saturn. They say Saturn is about 1 billion miles away from the Earth. Isn't that amazing? So the Peter Kreft says, as a philosopher, now we're talking, there's a certain space, 10 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet, a cubic space of 10 feet square. But that's not what heaven, the difference between space and place is like the difference between the geographic location. I'm going to describe to you some place, see if you can think of it in your mind. 20 miles west of Lake Michigan, 75 miles south of the Illinois-Wisconsin border. Now, if you had a map, you could point your finger right where I'm talking about. This space. Okay, does that mean much to you? Not yet. But then if I say, that's the house I grew up in, now it's place. It's a place, not a space. and Peter Kreft says that location in heaven is all about places, not just spaces. And what if I were to say, too, oh, that place I grew up in, and I often share this little point with people, is the house that I grew up in was the house that Colonel Randolph lived in 100 years before I lived in it. The same Randolph to whom the street in downtown Chicago was named after. And that same Randolph is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Thomas Jefferson. Now that space is more meaningful to me. It's not just space, it's place. And again, where does the meaning come from? There can be the veil that over or that comes down upon place is where we find God. And I think that's beautiful.
That's a beautiful distinction.
Huh? You know, because we need you and I, and this is, I think, especially true of moms or homemakers. Well, dads are homemakers too, but when you're trying to make your house a place, not a space, everybody knows the phrase, it's a home, not a house. And that's hard to do sometimes. But a lot of times our houses are just houses. But the goal of our spiritual life, and when you go to a retreat, you could come back and say, how am I going to want to try to make my house into a home? Especially for the kids. For children, the house is much more a space than a place. See what he's driving at?
Certainly.
And then you find God when you get this more deeper meaning, when this place means. What if I were to discover, I like sharing this too, is what the space where the place, St. James of the Sag is, if you go back 400 years, they say was where the Potawatomi Indians had a little outpost, or the French fur trading explorers. Now that means something, okay? And where does God fit in there? Well, you got to fit God into there just like you got to fit God into this moment right now. You can kick God out of this moment or you can invite God into this moment. And I just love that. To discover that your house was built on a place that was... And now let me further say, what if the place where there was a Potawatomi Indian tribe was also the very place where the teepee, where the chief lived and his wife gave birth to a little child who later became another chief or some famous thing happened to him. And then you got to evaluate some of those famous things that happened to him. And all our spiritual direction and retreats, this I think is what's good about sharing, is people could share what's happened. I'm sure people have shared with you what happens in their life, right?
Oh, of course, Father. Yeah.
And then what is your job then? To help them get the meaning out of it
and to understand the meaning of their lives before God.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you ever used the phrase, God speaks through facts? I've heard that a spiritual director of mine used that once.
I certainly understand the concept. That's the first time I've ever heard that phrase.
God speaks through facts. The fact is, our hour is over. Oh, my goodness. Well, God bless everyone for listening. Thank you, Father Bruce, for
being here. Thank you, Father Tom.
Come on out to St. James of the Sag on Saturday, December 16th, and you'll get more wisdom of Father Bruce and Professor
Fortini.
Right. I'm Father Tom Coase. You've been listening to Listener Supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.